Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
We do have open lines, 844-322-2742. We would certainly love to hear from you on today's broadcast. If you have a question about a particular Bible passage that you're not sure what it means, we would love to talk about that on today's edition. If you have a situation, something that you're going through that you want the wisdom of God out of the Word of God, we would love to talk with you about that as well. Again, the number 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. This month we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the Jesus you can know. God tells us what eternal life is. That's what He's promised us. That's what He gives us when He comes to Jesus. But what is eternal life? How do we define it? Well, there's only one place in the Word of God that defines it for us, and that's John 17:3. And Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, says this: "This is eternal life, that you know God and that you know the one whom He sent." So what is eternal life? It's knowing God the Father and knowing Jesus Christ the Son. So what does that mean? What does it mean to know Jesus Christ? Well, that's what we're going to talk about this month. And to help you know Him better, we've produced a wonderful teaching series called The Jesus You Can Know. It's The Jesus You Can Know. We take a look at several different pictures of Jesus that the Bible gives us, and it will help solidify your understanding of just who Jesus is and what He means to you in your day-to-day life. Now, for most of us, this Jesus you can know, the first way we know Him is as Savior. We're sinners, we're lost, we're dead in sin, we're by nature children of wrath, and there's no way for us to escape that. And so God sent Jesus into this world to become Savior for you and for me. Paul writes about that in his first letter to Timothy, and I love this passage. He says this: "I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." So Paul was a man who needed mercy, who needed grace. And Jesus Christ became the one that poured out His mercy and grace upon Paul. And then he says this: "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that as me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ may display His perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in Him for eternal life." So you and I, when we come into this world, we come into this world labeled as sinners. That was our nature. We were by nature children of wrath. That's why we sin. That's why no matter how much we wanted to do good, we always did the wrong thing. Sin always came forth out of us. Why? That was our nature. But Jesus Christ came in the world to save us. So our first introduction to Jesus, the first way that we know Him, is as Savior. Now, Paul was a man who was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and he says of himself that he was the chief of sinners, the foremost, the prototype, the example. And so if the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ was enough to save Paul, then it's enough to save you and me. So what does Jesus Christ do in our lives? Well, He meets us at our point of need. He pours out His mercy and grace upon us, and He saves us. He takes us from being sinners, lost and dead in sin, and he puts his life into us. He makes us alive together with himself so that we can live in the newness of life, so that we can enjoy eternal life here and now. So he saves us, he makes us alive, and he gives us a brand new identity called child of God, saint by calling. That's who we are. So the first way that each and every one of us is going to know Jesus Christ is as Savior. So let me ask you a question. Have you come to meet Jesus as your Savior? Do you know that Jesus died for your sins? Do you know that Jesus was buried and then raised back to life so that you could experience forgiveness and new life through faith in him? That's the question of the day. Have you met Jesus as your Savior? And if you've not, we would love to help introduce him to you as your Savior today. Or if you're out there listening and want to share your testimony of when you came to meet Jesus as your Savior, we would love to hear that as well. Again, the number 844-322-2742. And as I said at the very beginning, we have this wonderful series this month called The Jesus You Can Know. We want to put it in your hands. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel in the month of March. And we certainly need your help in introducing more and more people to Jesus Christ, first as Savior and then as Lord and God. So please help be a part of what God is doing through this ministry and introducing people to Jesus Christ. It's a life-changing ministry for people all over the world. Come and be a part of it. You can get all the information on how you can contribute to Basic Gospel at our website, basicgospel.net. We have a donate link right on the homepage. And just click that, follow the instructions, and while you're there, be sure and request your copy of this wonderful new series, The Jesus You Can Know. The Jesus You Can Know. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. We welcome you to the broadcast as well. The number to call, 844-322-2742. Call right now, again, 844-322-2742. We're going to go to our phone lines and talk to a man from Austin, Texas. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Yeah, let me answer your question. Yes, I know the Lord, and he knows me is the main thing, and I'm very thankful for that. And his grace and mercy is everything, because it wasn't my part at all. Hey, one of my questions for you today is, tell me how this basic, I've listened to your ministry, how you guys, how you would talk and what you would say about living a repentant life as we're forgiven, but we still have to deal with our Adam nature, and we walk in the spirit, and then we also fluctuate. And so how do we apply the repentant life in this grace message you all put forward?
Well, we talk about that in terms of renewing the mind. As Paul said, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be renewed, be transformed through the renewing of the mind. So that's where repentance takes place. So our minds were fully planted in the world system. We followed the ways of this world. We lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. When we come to know Christ as our Savior, when we recognize that he died for our sins and that he's come that we might have life and have it abundantly, there's a change of mind that happens. We move from looking out there into the world for life and meaning and purpose and significance, and we turn to Jesus and we receive him as our very life. Now, when we're living in this world as a Christian, we're still going to experience the temptations of this world. The world's going to dangle all kinds of things in front of us, trying to lure us away from the newness of life that we can live by grace through faith in Jesus. And we also have flesh. We have sin that still resides in these members, this body of ours. And that flesh is trying to lure us away as well. Well, how do we counteract that? How do we overcome that? Well, simply by the renewing of the mind, by walking in the Spirit, keeping our focus on Jesus Christ. So that's what this new life in Jesus is all about. It's an exciting life, but it is a courageous life. It's one where, you know, the world wants us to give in. The world wants us to blend in. The world wants us to be like it. But the Spirit of God is saying, no, I've put my life inside of you. Just look to me. Walk by me. Let me lead you so that you can bear the fruit of the Spirit in your day-to-day life, where you will be someone who doesn't cave in, but someone who stands out as one who has been marked out as a child of God. So I hope that helps, man. I certainly appreciate your call today.
Yes, thank you so much. You guys have a great evening.
Well, you do as well, and I would certainly encourage you to take a look at our YouTube channel, basicgospel.net/YouTube. We have addressed so many of these types of questions. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? You know, are we in the flesh? How can we overcome the patterns of the flesh that we once walked in? So we have lots of answers on our YouTube channel. Would certainly encourage you to take a look at that as well. And we sure appreciate the call. Great call today. Thank you. Well, we have plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Call right now. We would love to talk to you. We had this question from one of our Facebook viewers, and if you're viewing us on either YouTube or Facebook, you can post your comments or questions right there in the comment section, and we'll get to those as well. But Ernest wants to know this. Doesn't even Satan believe? And if that's the case, then what is saving faith? Well, when you go to the book of James, in the second chapter, James talks about the very nature of faith. And he begins this conversation about faith with this particular statement. You know, even the demons believe, and yet they shudder. Well, it is true. Satan knows all the facts about God. Satan knows all the facts about Jesus Christ. The demonic world knows all the facts about God and knows all the facts about Jesus Christ. There was an example of Jesus casting out demons from a person, and then they went about saying, hey, this Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus told them to be quiet and shut their mouths and kept them from broadcasting that. So they knew the truth about Jesus. But knowing the truth, knowing the facts about Jesus, does not equate to saving faith. Mental assent, intellectual assent to the facts. There are many skeptics out there today. There are many atheists out there today who would tell you that Jesus was a historical figure, that he was born in Bethlehem, that he was crucified by the hands of the Romans, that on the third day he was raised back to life. They would tell you the facts, and they would agree that that's exactly what happened. But just knowing the facts doesn't equate to saving faith. Saving faith carries with it the element of trust, of dependency and reliance. Christ died for our sins. We can know that as a fact, but there's a point in time where that knowledge becomes faith, and we have a trust in the fact that Jesus died for my sins, that he took my sins once and for all. So that is what saving faith is all about. It's that point in our lives where we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. It's that point in our lives where we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, that we know that this is for us. And in that saving faith, something happens to us. We go from death to life. We are imputed the very righteousness of God. forgiveness of sins becomes ours. We gain a new identity. We're called child of God, a new creation. That's what happens to us through saving faith. Just believing the facts doesn't bring that about. That's not the faith that God talks about. That's not the faith that James describes in his letter. That's certainly not the faith that Paul describes in all of his letters. It is a trust. It is a reliance. It is a dependence upon Jesus Christ to do for you what you could not do for yourself. Well, I hope that helps, Ernest. Great question. We certainly appreciate it. We're going to go to our phone lines and talk with Tracy, listening to us in Florida. Tracy, you're on the line.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great. What's on your mind today?
Figure I'd go ahead and share with people how I came to know Christ. So people that are kind of not sure, not wanting to know what the truth is, In 2015, I had tore my Achilles and lost my job. I didn't really have much. My mom started helping me, and she told me to start going to church, which I was like, yeah. I figured I'd just do it just because she asked me. And so I started going in 2015. And then as I started getting more involved in reading about the Word and reading everything, I become more, I don't know how you say, excited or wanting to know more and more and keep knowing more and more. To where 2016, I went ahead and did a water baptism to show everyone that, yes, I really wanted to know about Jesus. In 2018, I still remember the exact day, September 23rd, 2018, a Sunday, you came to our church and spoke. I'll never forget this day because I felt like the Spirit moved me somehow. I went and bought a couple of your CDs, and I think I come up and said something to you about,
yes, you did.
I'm going to use these CDs to teach people. And I left, and when I left, I thought, I can't believe I just said that to him. I didn't know what I was saying in a way, but I just went with what I was being told. So as far as ministries go, like your ministries and Andrew Farley and people that do ministries that don't really come to believe that things can happen, yes, they really can, but you have to be willing to believe or trust in what's being offered to you.
Yeah, like I said, we can go through a lot of religious rituals. You know, when I was a kid, I grew up in a church, and we had a confirmation class, I think, in the third grade, and we learned a lot about the church. We learned a lot of the doctrines of the church, and then at the end, we were confirmed as members in that particular denomination, and I certainly went through that just because I was supposed to. And all my friends went through it, but I knew very little about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I certainly did not know Jesus as my Savior. That happened several years later at a church youth camp when I realized that God loved me enough that He let me know that I needed Jesus as my Savior. And that's when I turned to Him. That's when I responded to Him. That's when I trusted Him and His work on the cross to be sufficient to take away my sins once and for all. And then some years later, I got the second half when I realized that not only had Jesus forgiven my sins, but He had come to live inside of me, that He had made me alive together with Himself. And that's when, boy, just light bulbs went on and things began to explode in me. And I think the same is true for you, Tracy, when you really learned that salvation is more than forgiveness, it's life, and that you receive life through the resurrection and it's experienced in this new covenant. I think that's when those light bulbs went off for you as well, when that true dependence and reliance took place in your life.
Yeah, and your book helped us out, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. That helped us out, and I guess that's why I wanted to meet you, because I love the book so much, I wanted to meet you. And then I met you, I was doing all this stuff, and I was like, wasn't really thinking, I feel like then I was like, He was leading me to Him. Because I felt like I didn't know exactly what I was doing, but it was just fun to, I don't know, there's something about it.
Yeah.
And I came the next day, Monday morning, I was listening to your CDs, and that's what I basically gave myself. I said, you know, I studied for 4 years, three, 4 years, just trying to figure everything out. And I just gave up saying I can't, I was never going to figure nothing out or ever accomplish anything or be anything. And that's why I denied myself and asked him to come and forgive me of everything. And I told him I believe everything he did as far as his death and his burial and his resurrection and all that. I believe that and want that to be put into my heart or accept that into my heart. But the only way I could go on to teaching people or helping people was have him come actually into my life or the Holy Spirit enter into me. And so I asked a free will for him to enter me. And within, I can't say this for everybody, but within 10 minutes, I felt it.
Yeah. Well,
it's not like anything major. It's just you feel your heart just with everything that all the weight that was in my heart just disappeared. I couldn't.
Well, it's like for me,
it was like, you know,
yeah, a weight of guilt lifts.
Like, wow.
A weight of guilt lifts off of you. Kind of that shame dissipates.
Yep.
And then you know that he's there. You know that he's there with you and in you. And that's the story, and it's an amazing story. And Tracy, you know, thanks for popping on today to share your story. And, you know, when we think about the ministry of Basic Gospel, our whole purpose is simply to point people to Jesus and to introduce them to Jesus as Savior, as Lord, as God, as life. And then leave the results of that in God's hands and with you. That is just an amazing result. And we are so privileged and grateful that God allowed us to be a part of your life in such a wonderful way. So, Tracy, thank you for being a part of ours. And thank you for coming on and sharing your story today.
You're welcome. I hope others come to do the same through, whether it's your ministry, Andrew, just people come to experience that because it's really the most important. If you ever do anything, one thing in your life, it's the most single most important thing you could ever do is accept him and have him as Savior. There's nothing even close.
You're exactly right, my friend. There is nothing as important as knowing Jesus Christ and experiencing him as your very life. So, Tracy, glad that's the truth for you and glad you are anchored to that hope and you know that he is with you and you know that you're always going to be with him. So, again, thank you, my brother. Great to hear from you.
Yep. I'll talk to you again hopefully soon.
Okay, man.
Thanks.
Yeah, call anytime. Bye. Well, we had this call from Angelo, actually from our email. He wrote to us and said, "Hi, Bob, my question is who taught us to worship on Sunday when the Sabbath is on Saturday? I don't see anything about Sunday. I don't believe the Sabbath is every day unless that was taught by Paul or Peter because we should worship every day. I believe a lot of false teaching is going to be reviewed in this season of time. I believe the teaching about the book of Revelation has been false teaching as well. So what about this Sabbath? Well, the Sabbath, according to the law, according to the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments, was the seventh day. And the people of Israel were to rest on that seventh day. That seventh day began at sundown on Friday evening and went to sundown on Saturday. Well, that's still the Sabbath, according to the law. We worship, Christians tend to worship on Sunday in honor of the resurrection. On the first day of the week, that's when the women went to the tomb and they saw that the tomb was empty. And Mary Magdalene saw Jesus, thought that he was the gardener, and then realized that he was the living Christ, that he had been raised just as he had said that he would be raised. And since Christianity and the resurrection go hand in glove, since the resurrection is really the substance of our faith, we worship on Sunday in honor of that. So there are certainly people who are trying to say, now that's the Sabbath, but no, the Sabbath is still that Saturday. But we experience something that Sabbath was pointing to, and that's this eternal rest that we have in Jesus Christ. That's the real Sabbath that all of believers can experience because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, Angelo, hope that helps. Thanks for your email question. We certainly appreciate it. Well, this has been Basic Gospel. We have this wonderful resource this month, The Jesus You Can Know. We encourage you to request a copy by going to basicgospel.net, basicgospel.net, click the donate button and follow the instructions and request your copy of The Jesus You Can Know. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.